Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode 35 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista. As always, I'm joined here by Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
You know, I had a good Monday. Usually my Mondays are worse. I don't know. For some reason, ever since football's been gone, my Mondays have been better. I wonder why. I have no idea, but they've been better.
Well, I'll start with this one thing. For the first time in a very, very long time, I haven't been able to say this in a very, very long time. The Knicks are an above 500 team, and that feels so good to say. And I know that my words are going to come back to bite me in the ass, but that does not matter right now because the Knicks are 18 and 17.
All right. But before we get into that, I want to introduce our first guest we've had since like December. We've got Bruce Beck, Sports Broadcasting Camp's alumni. Daily Knicks contributor and writer, you know, shout outs to that. Go check him out. Ithaca College's finest, Jeremy Goldstein. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. I've listened to the podcast before. You guys do a great job. So I'm very happy to be a guest here. I'm excited to talk some Knicks and other things.
Yes, yeah, sir. Man. We're happy to have you, man. We're excited. You know, as I mentioned in the introduction there, you guys should check out Jeremy's stuff. First things first, we'll say follow him on Twitter at JNGHD. Is that correct?
That is correct. I made that Twitter handle a long time ago, and I just never changed it. So,
yeah. So
sticking with it. That's it. Like nice and simple.
Exactly.
Appreciate the support.
Check out his tweets. Check out his. I've read a couple of his articles. He had a really, really good one on trades that the Knicks could potentially make at the deadline. I really liked that one. I think we both read that. We mentioned that a couple episodes ago.
No, so in our last episode, I was looking, I looked up Knicks trade scenarios, and the first thing that popped up was Jeremy's thing. And I was about halfway through reading it. And all of a sudden I was like, hey, I know this guy.
That's our boy. Yeah. So check him out on Daily Knicks. But yeah, this is the official home of your fourth seed, 18 and 17, above 500, New York Knicks.
Oh, yeah.
Podcast. 3-game winning streak. We were going to record this last night after the game, but, you know, we're all human, and it's harder to schedule 3 people to record than 2 people. So, yeah, we're into it today. We're real excited. Let's just hop right into it here. Last night, well, I guess we'll go backwards here. No, I lied. We'll not go backwards. That's confusing. They beat the Kings. They scored 140 points. Just offensive outburst, 77 in the first half, 73 in the second. And then they got a huge, huge character win on Saturday, falling behind in the fourth, coming back from as far down as 16 in the second quarter. And just some really big time clutch performances by the young guys, holding it together, some glue guys. And then last night, they just wiped the floor with the Pistons from the second half on, doing exactly what they should do, because the thing that differentiates good teams and bad teams is that good teams beat bad teams. Bad teams don't beat bad teams. So obviously you've heard me and Anthony spiel about the Knicks hundreds and hundreds of times. So we'll let Jeremy go first here. What are your biggest takeaways from the last 3 wins, the Knicks' most recent 3-game winning streak?
Kyle, I think you nailed it right on the head. I think the big issue with these Knicks teams of the past that have potentially gotten their hopes up or intrigued us at least a tiny bit is they haven't been able to beat bad teams on a consistent level. And like you said, that's what good teams do. I think they finally have an established all-star that's proven that he can lead the team in Julius Randle. And while I do say, I do believe they do need to make a couple more moves to sort of, again, establish themselves as a top team in the East, I do like the Derrick Rose trade a lot. That's definitely been a huge help, that veteran presence. And the number one guy of all in this whole season is Tom Thibodeau. I mean, he's taken a roster, a young core that I'll be honest with you, got to be frank, they're not the most talented. They're not close to it. The roster is very similar to what it was last season. However, he's getting the most out of all of these players, and that's why they're winning games.
Exactly. And, you know, they're playing defense. They hadn't been playing defense in the past. They've got the best defensive rating in the league right now. And overall, opposing points allowed. They have the second highest percentage, I believe, behind either Utah or LA, the Lakers. I forget which one, but they're top 3 with the Jazz and Lakers. So they've got a top 2 defense, top 3 defense, best defense in the East so far. That's got to be a huge part of it. And one thing that I think came together really well, specifically in the Indiana win on Saturday, I believe it was. Yeah, it was Saturday. was that they hit their big shots. They made their big plays. RJ Barrett down the stretch has been playing consistently now the last three games. And something that Anthony and I harped on before the past stretch of games was that RJ was inconsistent. And we wanted him to take that step up before Julius Randle obviously started doing what he did. And he's like a revelation. So,
1 second, I'm switching locations because it's unstable here.
I gotta completely agree with you there. I just think that it's insane to think that this Knicks team is 7-3 in their past 10 games. The fact that since February, their first game of February, February 1st, they lost to the Bulls in what I remember to be a decently close game.
It was a very close game, and it was a heart-wrenching. I think they got it to it. I think Reggie Bullock hit like a big three with like 50 seconds left.
Yes.
LaVine hit a three, and then by that point, everything had just crumbled.
Yeah, but like just the idea of since that one loss, they've been absolutely lights out. And, you know, those three losses were games that they really should have won. I mean, if you look back at it, it's the Magic game was, yeah, really a bad off game for both RJ and the entire team as a whole. They ended up losing that one by, I think, 18 points. And then not to mention the Warriors loss, which came down to the last 2 minutes. But the fact that Steph Curry is absolutely electric, you just really can't. You can only do so much to prevent that. And obviously,
there's a reason he's the best point guard of our generation.
I truly believe that.
Can I just bring one thing up that's very intriguing? RJ Barrett, this in this month of February, has shot around 47% from behind the arc. And I think that's just been a game changer considering he's had so many shooting struggles throughout the beginning of his career. And that's just improved the Knicks' three-point shooting as a whole.
100%. And another interesting thing about RJ Barrett, and I don't think this is really a secret to any Knicks fans that watches the game, is that Julius Randle, he's going to get his points. He's going to make the players around him better. There's a reason he's an all-star. He's been a revelation. And we've done nothing but shut up about Julius Randle, and deservedly so. He's been a complete stud. Unbelievable. And, yeah, there's no denying that. But RJ Barrett, when he plays well, obviously we've all seen the stat going around Twitter today. They're 18-0 when he has a plus in the plus-minus. So when he has an on game, when he can be the Robin to Julius Randle's Batman, that's when the Knicks win their games.
We can't forget that even though Julius Randle can have these great scoring days, that doesn't mean his plus minus is going to be there. The plus minus comes from just being an effective team player overall because you have to play defense and offense, obviously, at the same time. So I think with a trend we've seen happen constantly is the starters will either be in the same plus minus range and so will the bench because Tom Thibodeau plays these units together. He doesn't like to mix and match a lot. Mm-hmm. So whenever Julius Randle is the leader, since he's the leader of the team, so whenever he's able to anchor that unit and make them play well as a whole, as a group of five, that's when they win games.
And look, I think we've definitely seen that recently. I mean, over these past few games where they've had wins that weren't really as close as some of their other really tight, close-wrenched ones, I think that it's been pretty clear that Julius Randle has stepped up in the sense that, look, if you look at my analysis of Julius Randle in the offseason a few episodes ago, you know that I was not a big fan of him. You know that I wanted him gone by the beginning of the season by the trade.
Here's the plan B.
And, you know, like you guys said before, I've completely shut up about that. He's completely proved us wrong. And I am really, really glad that Thibodeau has been able to kind of transform him and himself, obviously, has been able to transform Randle into this all-star that he's been this season.
Uh-huh. And, you know, he's playing better defense. That's one thing that I think is kind of getting overshadowed by the fact that his three-point shooting and his efficiency has been so much, so much, so much better. He's passing the ball more. He's making the players around him better. And I'd say a guy like him and Derrick Rose, like Derrick Rose is going to be so unbelievably helpful for like maybe less so guys like Reggie Bullock, Nerlens Noel, established role players in the NBA who have been doing a pretty good job. I'll throw Alec Burks in there as well because he's had a pretty good last couple of games off the bench. But guys like Emmanuel Quickley and Obi Toppin, let's just touch on Derrick Rose for a second because he's helping them out a ton.
Yeah, Derrick Rose, that was I'm surprised so many people didn't like that trade because that was a no-brainer. Dennis Smith Jr. wasn't doing anything. And for a team that's clearly wanting to go in the direction of winning and buying at before the deadline, this is a trade you absolutely make. Derrick Rose is still a very good player for what he is. And off the bench, he's just an energizer. And he's proven that he can make other people better around him and provide some scoring and dishing as well.
Exactly. And, you know, one thing that has concerned me a little bit with Alfred Payton's injury is that Derrick Rose is getting more minutes than I would have liked from the beginning. He gets a little ineffective towards the back half of his rotations, which is a little concerning, but it's what you'd expect from a guy who's on his third pair of knees, I guess, in his age 32 season or 31 season. What is he? How old is he?
32.
He is 32. Okay, so I was right the first time. But, like, that's a little thing that's concerning, but it just shows it helps our depth. It helps the point guard position. It helps IQ develop. It takes a little bit of pressure off of Payton, but in a good way, it also puts more pressure on him because he's been playing better in the games he was healthy before Derrick Rose got there. He's been playing better since Derrick Rose has gotten here. And that's why the Knicks had their first winning month, which was in February since 2017.
That's the crazy stat.
Look, I'm going to ask you this, Jeremy. What's your opinion on Alfred Payton? Because I know that there's a lot of differing. There's a lot of people that think of him as potentially a really solid starting point guard.
I already know Jeremy's opinion, but I'm excited to hear him elaborate. Yeah.
So there are the Dylan Pescatores of the world who love this guy.
And shout out to Dylan Pescatore. He's also our boy. We love
him. And there are the people at Daily Knicks who want him dead. Like, so there's so many different opinions on Alfred Payton that I hear just of people I'm around. But I don't think it's hard. He's overhated. Like, look at it. Look what he does. He's a very good he drives to the rim well. He draw a foul, plays good tight defense, can stick with a speedy point guard. But here's what I can't stand about Alfred Payton is he should not be shooting threes.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't make them. It's a line drive that hits the rim every time. If he takes away that shot from his repertoire, then he's just a consistently solid player who I think should come off the bench. But he gets way too much hate. I feel right. People wanting him dead is just ridiculous.
You know, that's fair. That's a fair assessment. And I'll say this. I was a little bit too quick. I say too quickly, like it's like a joke. Like I was too quick to jump on the IQ should be starting bandwagon. And now that Derrick Rose is on the team, I hope Emmanuel quickly doesn't start a game this year because it means that someone got hurt. So I think IQ's role is better off the bench anyway. The thing about Alfred Payton that frustrates me is that, yeah, he'll clamp down on defense. He'll guard the other team's point guard better than most guys in the league would. He's a very good defensive guard. My one frustrating thing about him, along with him shooting threes, is that I feel that he's not very efficient at times, which can be frustrating, but I feel like it balances out with the defense. And another thing that he does offensively that kind of pisses me off is he'll drive into like three or four guys on a fast break, and I just scream at my TV. Like I don't understand why he's to drive into three or four guys. But overall, Alfred Payton had a way better month of February than he did January.
But Kyle, be honest with me. Like, we see him drive into a group of three guys, but we see Randall do that. We see RJ do that. I think it's a team problem more so than just an Alfred problem.
That's
and
fair.
Again, I get why people don't like him because Emmanuel Quickley is on the team, and he's the fan favorite. I'd say he's the biggest fan favorite on the team. When Alfred Payton takes his minutes, people are going to just be quick to bash him. But
yeah.
I think people are wrong when they're saying he hasn't contributed in a positive light at times. And he does, and people just really bash him way too much because he has been a spark. Look at the game, their first win of the year when they beat Milwaukee by 20 at the Garden. The guy was the leading scorer of the game. He dropped over 30 points. He has his moments where he does shine and is not a bad player. He's a quality point guard.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, you're right in the aspect that he does get a fair amount of his hate because of Emmanuel Quickley and what a revelation he has been. And let's talk about Quickley now for a little bit. You know, his numbers aren't really reflecting as much, but because he's inconsistent still. He's similar to what RJ was last year,
but he's a rookie.
Except he's got more. It seems like his rookie year ceiling is higher.
Completely. I gotta completely agree with that.
People have more leeway with Quickley because Quickley was a 25th overall pick while RJ was a 3rd overall pick. People are gonna want RJ to be good right away because before Zion, he was the most heavily, he was the highest ranked player coming out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And Quickley was this guy, they literally traded Marcus Morris Sr. for Emmanuel Quickley, which is a great deal at this point. And again, when people saw Quickley be this, again, near second round pick, and play this effectively, people are going to love him, expect the world from him. He's a great shooter, one of the best free throw shooters in the entire NBA. If he could just get a little stronger and tighten up his D, I mean, this guy can be a starting point guard in the future.
100%. Yeah, that's definitely true. And
you see the potential in him. I mean, obviously this guy is hopefully a budding star in the next few years. And, you know, I'm not expecting him to be the next Steph Curry. I'm not expecting him to be the next Damian Lillard. But I think that this guy can be a solid point guard, a solid starting point guard for the Knicks in the near future for at least a few years where, I mean, I don't know if he's the answer that the Knicks need, but I definitely can see him as a starter for years to come.
I mean, he has the ceiling of being the best Knicks point guard since Sean Starks. Oh, is 100%. That a stretch? Like, is that so crazy to say?
Jeremy Lin.
Sean Starks isn't a point guard. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
He's a shooting guard. That's true. I mean, like,
my I always think of him as a point guard. I always think of
Derek Harper was the point guard in that time. He was an aging veteran. Like, that just shows how bad the point guard situation has been for so long.
You're right. I mean, Starks was the ball handler on that team. That's why I always think of him that way. But you're right. People always forget Iverson was a shooting guard as well. So that's my bad. But
yeah, exactly. I don't know if you want to judge best point guard in ages because, like, again,
I'm saying ceiling, not right now.
Ceiling? I mean, in terms of shooting, definitely. This guy's an elite shooter, but I don't know if his – I want to see his game be a little more diverse. And that's the cold, hard truth I'm putting in now.
That's
because
fair. That's a fair assessment.
He's not big. He can't really stick with, like, these elusive guards as much as he probably wants to, and he can't win a muscle battle, so –
Yeah, and
I love quickly.
When his floater is off, you're right. When his floater is off, which it has been the last couple of games, and I tweeted about it last night, actually. When it's off, his offensive game does become very one-dimensional. I do think that, like, he's very fast. I think he is elusive like these guards that he's going to have a difficult time guarding. And I'd like to see his ball handling get a little better as well for a point guard. But if he could move off ball a little better, like his off ball game's not terrible, but like you think of like Steph Curry's the best point guard in the world because his off ball like skill is just off the charts. Like that, people don't realize how much that contributes to his game.
Now, so, Jeremy, I'm going to ask you this. So obviously we're going into the All-Star break now in a few days. Obviously the Knicks have a few more games, but so All-Star break, NBA trade deadline's coming up in about 3 weeks now. It's March 25th. So yeah, a little over 3 weeks. What do you see the Knicks doing, or what do you want the Knicks to do in these next few weeks in this stretch?
When you say, what do you see the Knicks doing? I think it's difficult because Leon Rose is not an open book. Obviously, I think the thing that's been made the most clear is they want to make a move. Thibodeau is encouraging a move for a really good player, an all-star type player. But I don't know if they're really willing to give up a lot for that. It did come out that the Knicks did offer Knox and Noel for Drummond. I don't know if you guys heard that.
Don't do that. That would be horrible.
That would not be the smartest idea.
That's an interesting debate because Knox is they're done with Knox, but I do want to see them trade for a sharpshooter. Like if they can get a cheaper price for a Buddy Hield, a JJ Redick,
Doug
somebody
McDermott.
Like that.
100%.
I like Reggie Bullock. He can knock down the three, but they need somebody to come off the bench or start over Reggie Bullock that can knock down a three. Like a 40% rate, because if they had that, like they'd have,
I want Steve Novak now.
The defense would be so much more honest against this Knicks offense that does not score a lot of points because the Knicks are such a paint. They thrive in the paint, but that's about it. They don't shoot well. If they had a guy who shot well, they'd be honest. The defense would be a lot more honest.
Take, I could not agree with it more. Now, I don't know what the likelihood of a Buddy Hield or JJ Redick, because those are the two names, and those are that's super ideal. I don't know what the likelihood of that is, and I don't know what the package would have to be to get those caliber of guys. But when I say I don't want the Knicks to make a trade, I mean I don't want to trade for Oladipo. I don't want to trade for Drummond. I don't want to trade for like that. I feel like those would both be stupid moves, you know? And
I'll tell you this.
A couple weeks ago, people saying Zach LaVine and Bradley Beal. I don't think that's realistic at all, but like, I wouldn't say no to either of those guys.
I really have an opinion on Drummond because I understand Mitch is – you want him to be the starter, but think about this. Drummond would be a rental, and Mitch has an expiring deal. I know. But Drummond, if him in the post with Randall, I mean, that would be – the paint would get even better. The paint – the points in the paint, I mean, it would amplify. So I understand you don't want to give up a large amount for Drummond, but I feel like you have to. I know I don't think he's the priority, but I think the Knicks do need to make a move to intimidate other teams just to show, look, we're in this. We're going to do something with our roster this season. And I don't think they're done, and they should not be done.
The Knicks have assets, too, to trade. They have these young players that, you know, yeah, they've been a little disappointing in our eyes with, like, a Kevin Knox or a Frank Ntilikina. God, I
love both of those guys.
I don't want them to trade Frank. I love Frank. But
I love both of those guys to death.
The fact that they have these bench assets like a Reggie Bullock, like a Frank Ntilikina, like a Kevin Knox, that they're able to move around, that are definitely expendable, shows that – and also not to mention picks in the future. They're not completely – I mean, they're not the Thunder in the sense that they've got an incredible array of picks coming up. But they have a decent amount where – if they're going to make a big trade or they're going to trade for somebody, they could always throw in a second round pick or a future first round, depending on the player. So I think that I'm not going to say I hope that they make a move, but like you guys said before, I think a kind, not an under the radar move, but not a big flashy move where you're going to get an Oladipo or a Drummond. I don't think it's possible for a LaVine or
I wouldn't like either of those moves.
But like a sharpshooter, if yeah. you're able to get a Buddy Hield, you're able to get a Doug McDermott, you're able to get some of these guys that can be a really solid option either off the bench as a sixth man or a starter that gets like 25-ish minutes. I think that would honestly be an ideal scenario for this Knicks team. And you know what? It's not necessary in the sense that this Knicks team can carry on without them, as we've been able to see recently. But I think if they really want to try to make a run in the playoffs this year, it's going to be necessary to have someone like that on their team.
I'll tell you what. This is what I'll say. Say what you want about, like, Dolan. And listen, Leon Rose has done an incredible job. But I'll say this about Dolan, Rose, Leon Rose, that is, like, Perry and Thibodeau, like, these guys, they want to win and they want to make the playoffs. Because if they didn't care about winning and making the playoffs, you'd see Emmanuel quickly getting 30 minutes a game. You'd see Obi Toppin playing more and Julius Randle getting less minutes. You'd see, like, you know what I mean? Like, they'd be more apt to playing these younger players to get trade value or depth or blah, 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 blah. If the Knicks didn't care about making the playoffs, but they brought in just solid rotation guys like Nerlens Noel, he's been putting up similar numbers to what Mitch put up when he was playing and healthy, and he's done a great job in that role. And, you know, I get frustrated at Nerlens Noel from time to time, but he's done a really good job stepping into that role that we didn't really expect he'd have with them this season.
Look,
and, you know, it's because Thibodeau motivates these guys, and you're nuts to say that with the position the Knicks are in now, because they will be halfway through the season officially after tomorrow's game against San Antonio. They especially with the position they're in now, they are aiming to make the playoffs, and that's why I think they will make a move. I don't know what that move is going to be. It's almost impossible to predict at this point, but I'd be surprised if they didn't make a move.
Can I say something quick? You brought up Obi Toppin. I might be able to make you think here a little bit. So do you think about this? Were you happy when they drafted Obi Toppin? Did you like the pick?
I wasn't mad about it. I just was lukewarm.
I expected it.
Yeah, that's probably
it. It wasn't like the Frank or the Steps pick where I didn't expect it. Like, I thought we were taking Obi Toppin.
So think about what the team was like when they drafted Toppin. They weren't expected to do anything. And Julius Randle was written off by the front office, by fans, by everything. And he was expected to start once they were ready to ship off Randle. But look what's happened. So Randle has exploded and has become an all-star, which no one expected. No one did. Obi's had his minutes blocked. And think about what would have happened if the Knicks knew this was going to happen. They would have probably drafted a guy like Tyrese Halliburton to play point guard.
Can you imagine?
They would have not have felt the need to draft the guy like quickly because they wouldn't have the point guard need. So if the Knicks knew Randle was going to play like this, this draft class, they would not have Toppin and quickly. They'd have two entirely different players.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Yeah, no, that does make you think. And I say that whenever people ask me, like, what about Obi? Like, I have friends who are, like, casual Knicks fans, don't watch every game, like living and dying with every possession, like the three of us. And they'll be like, oh, what about Obi Toppin? Wasn't he our pick? Blah, 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 blah. Like, the questions, like, that my mom asks me. And I'm like, well, the reason Obi Toppin doesn't play is because Julius Randle's our best player and they play the same position. And then to that point, like, you're right about that, Jeremy. Like, I didn't expect Julius Randle to play this way. I don't think anyone did except for Julius Randle, which is what makes it so unbelievably beautiful to see him just blossom into a New York Knick right before our eyes. And not even a
contract. Would you trade Obi? Would you trade Obi?
I don't think so.
For the right?
I think that's your heart talking and not the head. Because I think about it. Obi's a valuable player.
For the right player.
For the right player. For the right price.
Package it with like if you could package him with if you do the pick swaps and the first rounders and you package those picks with Knox, Beal and Frank or Knox, excuse me, Obi and Frank, then you for Beal or Levine, I think you have to take.
That. I would do that 100%, and I think you're nuts to say that you wouldn't do that. As much as Obi Toppin has become kind of like you see him celebrating on the bench, he gets his sexy dunk, he hits like a big like an and one, like two, and you're just like, oh yeah, that's Obi Toppin, like New Yorker. We love that guy. He cried when he got drafted to the Knicks. Like you love to see that, but like
Westchester native.
If you're getting another All-Star, like Beal, like Bradley
Beal's been. I don't think they're going to trade Beal anymore though because they're winning now.
Yeah, I know they lost. They had a tough loss to the Celtics last.
And the Bulls, I have a hard time believing they're going to really have these guys available for trade unless they truly have no interest in making the playoffs, which is hard to believe because. Everybody wants to make it right now because it's a weird season.
For the Bulls, I've always had ever since the season started, I've been like, oh, Zach LaVine. But then my brain goes and he's like, oh, like why would the Bulls trade Zach LaVine? It literally makes zero sense. And then I remember, yeah, that's correct. It's the same thing as saying, why? That's like a Bulls fan saying, oh, we should trade for Julius Randle.
Yeah. No.
So, yeah, but yes, it's a great point. It's a very good point.
I wish, dude. And I wish that the Wizards weren't winning because I remember like 3 weeks ago, we walked into American Airlines Arena and we had a big win. And that was like around when Washington hit rock bottom because I think they went on like a little
bit. Isn't American Airlines Miami?
Capital One, I'm sorry. That's Miami.
Yeah.
I apologize. That's my fault.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
My bad. I've literally been there before. I don't know how I mixed. I've been
someone didn't read. Someone didn't do his research.
Like, yeah, that's my fault. Whatever. It's like, whatever. I'm pretty sure Dallas and Miami are both like American Airlines. I don't know if they still are, but at one point they both were. You know, all right, Jeremy just showed his RJ Barrett jersey. Let's talk RJ Barrett.
Can I just tell you where I got this from first?
Sure.
Candid. So, MSG Go, legitimately.
That's
like
so
last cool. year, so since I'm a sophomore in college, and since last year, I had to watch every game virtually since I didn't have on the computer since I didn't have cable. I would play Sure Can, and eventually I got to win a jersey, and I asked for a Frank jersey. They said, nope, you have RJ. And then they gave me this statement edition Barrett jersey. And it's a Jordan logo on it for some reason. I don't know how that happened, but I like it.
I don't know. That makes it kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the Knicks have worn the Jumpman at least. I don't know which jersey. I don't think it's on the statement, but they have worn the Jumpman.
Okay, well, regardless of your jersey, I'm going to ask you this question now.
Wait, can I say one more thing about jerseys before you ask him the question?
God, hurry up.
Okay. Have you noticed that ever since everyone on Knicks started complaining about how ugly, like this, I don't know if it's the city edition, like the black one.
Yeah, the city edition.
Ever since we started
complaining. They're not bad.
They haven't worn them ever since we started complaining. No, because we're trying to be the Mets and wear black jerseys and we're not the Mets.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you this question. No more jersey talk as of right now. Would you, in the right package, like we said with Obi, would you trade RJ?
Ugh. No.
No.
I know. Do you follow Make Knicks Great Again on Instagram? Like, he's very keen on the fact that he's very big on the fact like there's nobody untouchable on this team. I think RJ Barrett is. I think he complements Julius Randle really well because while Julius Randle's this guy who can ISO and muscle anybody into the paint and score, RJ's developing this jumper now. He's getting that pull up mid range jumper. He takes it to the basket and draws contact.
He never gets calls. I complain about that every game. RJ Barrett also, never.
I think the officiating gives the Knicks a bad break. Like Lauren Camp, a terrible ref.
Every time.
Okay, I'm gonna make this comparison. It's not an accurate one per se. Like I wouldn't say it's 100% accurate. I'd give it like a 70% rating, but I think that RJ Barrett and Sam Darnold are very similar in their situations in the sense that
Hear me out. No. RJ's better than Sam Darnold.
RJ is better than Sam Darnold, but I'm gonna say like okay.
Jets are so much more hopeless than the Knicks.
Don't look at the Jets right now. Do not look at the Jets right now. Think of Sam Darnold going into last year before the 2-14 season.
So you're saying we're gonna go 2-14 next year. Don't even start. Stop.
Okay. Shut up. Hear me out. Sam Darnold has been at the beginning of the season was pegged to have, oh, this is gonna be his breakout year. This is gonna be the year that he's gonna play really well and he's gonna make himself known as one of the best quarterbacks in that rookie class. And all of a sudden he doesn't. But he, you know what, he has these flashes of, wow, he could have been, but then
okay, if he's better. But do you see the Jets ever raving about Sam Darnold all year? No. Do you see Knicks fans raving about RJ Barrett after a few games? Absolutely. RJ Barrett and Steph Curry looking up at the ceiling in Golden State. Sam Darnold never did that to anyone this year.
I'm not comparing this year because this year was not good enough in any sense for Sam Darnold. But think of the hype around Sam Darnold after his first year or his second year, where a lot of Jets fans and NFL personnel in general thought that he was going to be this guy that's going to save the Jets franchise. And I'm kind of starting to see a pattern in the sense that, you know what, RJ's a lot better than Sam Darnold, and I think that he's already proven that.
I'm glad you think
that. I'm scared in the sense that I think that RJ can fall into this little trap where he might be this inconsistent guy for the rest of his career.
I want to respond to this first, Jeremy. Did Sam Darnold have a Julius Randle?
God.
Exactly. No. He didn't. And the thing about RJ is that the thing about Sam Darnold had a decent second half of like 2019. Like he wasn't bad.
He plays well when the Jets are eliminated from playoff contention. That says something.
And did Sam Darnold ever lead any game winning drives down the field to win games for the Jets?
In his rookie year, maybe.
But like the thing is, my comparison to that is RJ Barrett hit a couple big shots on Pacers Saturday night. In the Pacers,
they were down five. They're down five. The Pacers
he hit a three, and then he got the and one.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the two most crucial possessions of the entire game because he changed the momentum. He just did it himself.
Even though he missed the free throws.
Yes.
Okay. Look. Fine.
Frank made a huge play.
I am not taking away from the fact that RJ is very good and has been playing a little more consistently recently. But just the fact that he has these games where he plays like absolute crap. And then there's all of a sudden, okay, there's this doubt around him. There's this shadow of
– He did miss the lamp against the Heat.
That was bad. That was really bad. That was like rock bottom so far this season.
I am rooting for RJ Barrett to be this number two to Julius Randle or potentially just a really solid starter for this Knicks team.
I hope he surpasses Julius Randle because that means it was a good freaking pick.
Yes, I agree. I also think that. But
that
I don't
was the right pick.
How
realistic
had to pick that is anymore.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Jeremy.
They had to pick him. They would have been killed if they didn't pick RJ Barrett. Because who else who are you going to take? Like, I don't know.
I mean,
Darius Garland. No,
he's the third best player in the draft. Who's been better than him other than Ja Morant and Zion Williamson?
Honestly, Ja Morant has not made noise this season.
Don't say Tyler Hero because he sucks.
Yeah. Oh my God. He's literally
bad this year.
He gets a lot of hype around them, but yeah, no, I agree.
He was great in the bubble. He has not been good this year, okay? I don't want to hear it. He has not been good, and I'm not just salty because the Heat beat us twice.
Can I say one thing? I'm so excited for that. Like, this San Antonio, the game tomorrow night, I'm just so excited. Like, this is the most excited I've ever, like, been for a Knicks game because I'm just like, all right, I'll watch and hope they're probably going to lose, but I think they can win every game right now. It's insane.
Bro, I just remember that Milwaukee game. I don't remember if it was the beginning of last year.
It was the third game of the – oh.
I'm talking about a different Milwaukee. You'll know when I say it.
When they were down 38 in the fourth quarter.
You were down by a lot of points. And
Dave was smiling.
And I remember watching that game and being so unbelievably infuriated with this franchise. I'll be honest, like, I've always been a Knicks fan through and through and through, but like, I get to points where usually at this point in the season where I'm like, I don't even want to watch. Like, I'll watch like a Rangers game because they've been good in my lifetime. Like, not as much the last 2 years, but like the Rangers were like a Stanley Cup Finals contender. Like, I watched the Rangers way more than I watched the Knicks in my childhood because the Knicks were just never good. I was at a point where I'd rather watch Yankee spring training games. Garrett Cole did not pitch well that great today, by the way, but he'll be fine.
He's not. Watched, the Yankees still won. He's fine.
Right. That's just our quick. Okay,
I was at the last Knicks playoff win at the Garden, Game 5 against
Game
the Pacers.
Game 5 Indiana.
I was there. I was in sixth grade at the time, and the Garden was insane. Like, that was crazy atmosphere. And I've been to Knicks games before. Like, I've probably gone to a couple of seasons the past few years. Like, yeah, the energy's there, but it's not 90s Knicks. Like, my dad always tells me when he had tickets, when he would go in the 90s and they were good, like, that was a playoff atmosphere every night. Like, it's finally there now. And I can only imagine what it would be like if there was a full capacity at MSG.
Look, I'm hoping that by the time that the next time the Knicks make the playoffs, we'll be able to have fans in the stadium. Granted, I will not give up the opportunity to get a Knicks playoff berth this year in the event that we can't have
two. They already have 2K.
Wow. Yeah, they have 2K, but obviously, like, that's not.
And hopefully, honestly, with the way vaccines are trending, hopefully it goes up from there, man.
Hopefully more. Who knows? It's a toss-up. I'm getting mine on Sunday, by the way.
Oh, that's great news. Yeah. That's really good news. Yeah, hopefully this COVID. We literally started this freaking podcast through, like, pandemic, which is so funny to me. I
started mine with a college friend too. Like, it's just everybody's doing it. It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's true. It's fun.
When in doubt, start a podcast.
Yeah, but yeah, like, you're right. 90s Knicks. Like, all of my uncle and my dad being like, man, there was nothing like that 94 team. Like, I after every Knicks win now, I have to listen to that "Go New York, Go New York, Go" song. Otherwise, I don't feel like the Knicks won at all. You can literally ask my girlfriend. I'll be on FaceTime with her, and she's like, "You're listening to the song again." Like, it's just
right, we've been winning.
It's become a part of the routine. I mean, dude, and I'll say this about the Knicks: we can never get too high. We always let ourselves get too high. It feels different. And if they can win tomorrow, that's a game that realistically it'll be their third game in 4 days, their fourth game in 6 days. They're playing a team. They've won 3 in a row. And they're playing a Western Conference contender for a playoff spot in San Antonio. They shouldn't win. They shouldn't win tomorrow. If they win, all hell's going to break loose on Knicks Twitter for the fourth night in a row.
You really think they shouldn't win that game?
I mean,
because the Spurs are playing tonight.
I go into every Knicks game like excited to watch the Knicks again, and that's an unbelievable feeling.
The Spurs are playing tonight.
Yeah, they're playing Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, the Nets are winning though, unfortunately.
Yeah, whatever. I'm okay. That shouldn't win. I'm sorry. That might have sounded that. I didn't mean to have such a negative connotation around it. What I'm saying is, it wouldn't be as bad as if we had lost the Indiana game. Like, people would have lost their minds. Like, it won't be like that.
I agree. I completely get it. Where you're not going in with the same expectations that you would with a lower team.
Like, it's not as much of like, we need to win this one. Like, we felt like when Julius Randle dropped 44 against Atlanta, or like how we felt against the Indiana game on Saturday, where like, we got to win this one. So
I agree.
But okay, let's just say, and also the Knicks haven't won 4 games in a row yet this season. I don't think that's really been touched on.
They've won three a few times.
They've won three a couple of times. That's right. But I think they've won three in a row like 4 times. They've never been able to get to that fourth. If the Knicks can manage to win tomorrow night and win Thursday,
then they'll get the five. They'll break with a 5-game winning streak. The Pistons suck. The Pistons are terrible.
You're right. Yeah, no, what they should do, I wouldn't be surprised. I think tomorrow's game is going to be close going no matter way it goes. If the Knicks can eke out a close win tomorrow and then head back to the Garden last game before Julius Randle gets his hurrah in the All-Star game and Obi Toppin wins the
– And Obi Toppin.
To get that momentum going into a tough stretch to start the second half of the season, which I'll remind you guys is Milwaukee, then OKC, which that one we have to win out of the four, at Brooklyn, at Philadelphia. Those are all 4 road games.
Jeez, that's not good.
It's brutal. The Knicks can manage to win tomorrow and Thursday – and not fall into a trap game, either one.
That would be vital. That'd be vital.
Huge. They'd be 3 games over .500, and they'd be the 4 seed going into the All-Star break. If they win both their games, there's nothing that can make them not the 4 seed going into the All-Star break. To have that kind of momentum where to be like, all right, we're halfway through. We're right where we want to be. We just need to stay focused. Would be huge.
Honestly, I'm also rooting for these other teams to lose because, like, the these teams like the Heat, the Hornets, the Celtics, they're not helping.
Yeah, no, they're I remember that last – I was pretty annoyed at the Sacramento Kings last night for how –
Yeah, I was off. I was watching that because I wanted the Hornets to lose. I hate LaMelo Ball, by the way. I'm a big LaMelo Ball hater. Come on. That
I don't have an opinion on LaMelo Ball, but
– He's all right.
I just think he's way – I think he's very overhyped. You know, he makes a cool pass, and everybody posts it. Like,
we'll do an out-of-town scoreboard real quick because both of these games matter to us, both games that have gone final. The Sixers beat the Pacers. Now, we're not going to catch Philly or anything like
they
that.
They did.
So,
I'll take the Pacers just getting further out of the picture.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'd prefer Philadelphia to win that game. And then Dallas beat Orlando, which matters to us because we have their pick. We want Dallas to finish the playoffs.
We want Denver to finish against the Bulls. They're up 2 going into the fourth quarter. So if Denver can beat the Bulls, that would be a nice help too.
Yeah. And then obviously always root against the Nets. Oh, dude, you made it sound like it's only a 3-5. Oh, it's a 5.
It was 11 when I checked.
Right now the Nets are only up by 5 right in the beginning of the third quarter.
3. So yeah, I mean it was 11 when I checked. If the Spurs win, look, the Knicks can end up with 2 games behind the Nets at the break. It's ridiculous.
They could.
And then they play them. Like, it could happen.
It could happen.
I'm not trying to get unrealistic, but my hopes are high.
Right.
I can't help it.
And why shouldn't they be? And I'll say this about the Knicks because it looks like this is just going to be a Knicks episode. We'll talk baseball and stuff definitely. On Thursday. This is just – we're just going to talk Knicks for as long as we can here.
Once you start, you can't stop.
Exactly, because we're so freaking excited.
That's why – like, thank you for making the chat. Like, I'm so happy that exists.
I made an Instagram group chat. Me and Dylan Pescatore talked about it a couple of times, and he'll be on the show eventually because we want to have everyone in that chat on this show because we're just so freaking excited about the Knicks. But, we created a group chat, like, of, like, guys who've, like – we all met, like – I'm sure you guys have all heard this story. Like, Anthony and I met at, like – a Bruce Beck sports broadcasting camp. Shout out to Bruce. Shout out to Mike Quick. Just two great, incredible teachers, incredible human beings. And we met Jeremy there.
That, yeah.
So we have like 5 or 6 of us that are just diehard Knicks fans. We just spam a chat during every Knicks game, just going nuts. Like, I think are we undefeated since I created that chat, or was that?
No,
that
the Warriors.
Don't put that on yourself.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that was before or after. I created it after the Timberwolves game.
Don't get that.
Yeah, whatever. We're 3-1. I'll take that. If we can win 3 out of every 4 games for the next whatever until that chat exists, it means we'll win the NBA Finals. So,
yeah. Great. I'm all for that.
Yeah, but all right. We got off course for a second. What I was going to say is that the Knicks, it's not unreasonable to hope that they will finish top 6 in the East now.
Agreed.
Because that becomes a huge factor in this year's playoffs.
Mm-hmm. This is what it comes down to, and I know we're getting closer to the end. I feel like so. I'm gonna say what I said at the beginning. It comes down to beating the teams you're supposed to beat. There are always going to be games on your schedule. Like I know there's a lot of hard games coming up at the beginning of the second half, but there will always be teams in the schedule that you need to beat. And those bottom feeders, you gotta always beat them. That's how you maintain your positioning because that's what good teams do. They beat bad teams all the time. They don't miss a beat.
If the Knicks want to make the playoffs and have – if they want to get past that play-in
– avoiding – like, my goal was maybe make the play-in game. But they could very well be about that.
Yeah, and, you know, this is all about – as much as this is about making the playoffs this year and maybe snagging a game or two in a round-one series, maybe surprisingly taking a round-one series, it's about building a winning culture. And that's why it becomes so important in these last 30-plus, 35-plus something games – that they cannot fall apart now because it will just diminish almost every good feeling every Knicks fan has right now if they fall apart and somehow miss the playoffs.
And look, in the event that they do make the playoffs and you know what, yeah, they take 1 or 2 games in the first round or that kind of thing, or they're able to look, whatever the, if they're able to make the playoffs, regardless of their final position, the fact that, like you said, you establish this winning culture, then from there, you're able to one, either lure in free agents. Obviously, that's always going to be hard because Dolan's at the helm. But just the idea of having a new team, a new culture, something that we haven't seen over the past few years is going to be intriguing. And like, obviously, this year's free agent class is a little more underwhelming than we expected it to be a few years back just because of contracts and re-signing. But there's definitely going to be a few guys out there that the Knicks can pick up to better themselves as a team, to give themselves a better chance at winning in the future. Because you know what? Yeah, the Knicks aren't going to win the NBA Finals this year. Like, that's obviously something that we've kind of accepted a very, very long time ago. And even though there's hope, we're not really expecting anything big from the Knicks this year other than a potential playoff spot. Obviously, right. I'd like to be pleasantly surprised. But just the idea of having this, like you said, having this culture, having hope for Knicks fans, which we haven't seen in a very, very long time. It's exciting, and I think it's something that we need to capitalize on over these last few games.
While I'm on the pod, I just need to say, Knicks fans, if you're listening, if the Knicks make the playoffs and lose first round, lose easy, like don't even win a game, maybe win one or two, this is just the beginning. Look what the Nets did. The Nets, with Caris LeVert and D'Angelo Russell, made the playoffs.
They lost in five to Philly, right?
And that, what that did was it showed these attractive free agents, look, we can win games without superstars, and that makes superstars want to come. Mm-hmm. So if the Knicks being a capable team will show free agents that they're not in that rock bottom stage anymore, and will maybe have guys want to come over and play.
100%. And to say this is just the beginning, you are correct. This is the beginning of what we can cross our fingers and hope that this is the beginning of a new era of New York Knicks basketball, where winning is expected, where there's a culture change, where players want to play for us and they want to take on that challenge of winning in New York City, the greatest city in the world with the greatest fans in the world, because that hasn't been the popular thing for a really, really long time, almost ever. So this is just the beginning. And we saw what the Nets did. They built from the ground up after some terrible, terrible, terrible transactions. And, you know, the Knicks might have even started lower than that. So you just got to cross your fingers and hope that this is the beginning of something special. So
great saying.
All right. So before we close out here, Jeremy, do you want to plug all your socials real quick? Daily Knicks, blah, blah, blah.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Daily Knicks. If you just go on fansided.com, which I'm sure people know about, Daily Knicks section, you can search my name. I'm there. And then also check out my coworkers' articles as well, because we all put in a lot of effort there. And I think we all put in good work. Twitter at JNGHD, and that's pretty much all you need to know. I appreciate you guys for having me on the podcast. I love talking Knicks with you guys, especially in the chat, and it was very fun to come on here and do it live.
Course, oh, we'll hope you come back, man. We hope that you'll be back.
I'm glad to.
We hope that you're back for a round one Knicks versus Heat playoff preview that we just talk about. We just do nothing but dive into matchups for an hour.
I'll be at home too. I won't be in school anymore. So I mean, I think we, you know what? Let's just throw all our money away and go. Why not?
Honestly, let's just go to Madison Square Garden. Let's go to South Beach. But in all seriousness, I'll plug my socials real quick before Anthony does, before we wrap this up. First of all, if you want to follow us in the pod, we're at Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram and TikTok. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's Big Apple SP Media. If you want to follow me, I'm at Kyle Keegan, but the L is a one. That's Kai1E Keegan, as you all know. And now Anthony, wrap us up.
Anthony Evangelista 7 on Instagram, Anthony EV 7 on Twitter. Once again, Jeremy, thank you for coming.
I gotta follow you on Twitter. I gotta follow you on Twitter. I don't know if I follow you.
No, don't worry. I don't tweet.
Anthony
as much.
Never tweets, bro. He's not like us. Like,
here's the thing. I'll retweet specific things, and I'll tweet anytime I'm in pain.
I do follow you.
I just gotta trade a little
We're
more.
We're good.
Yeah, you need to get more active. I feel like Jeremy and I live tweet every Yankees and Knicks game.
Yeah, like we'd be more fun with the third. More the merrier.
Honestly, dude, I'm like Michael Memes. Hopefully he'll get on the show.
Oh, yeah.
That guy, I'd love to pick his brain. He is so smart about basketball.
I co-host a show on the radio here in Ithaca with Michael Memes every Sunday. So definitely tune in. And we're trying to get callers for that as well. So we'll try to get you guys on there too.
Oh, dude, that'd be awesome, man. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Once again, Jeremy Goldstein, Ithaca College absolute legend. Thank you for coming on.
I appreciate it.
We'd love to have you again, obviously, hopefully with some good news in the near future about this Knicks team. But
for sure.
Thank you so much, man.
All right.
So that's just going to wrap up our episode number 35. We want to thank you guys all for listening to the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.